Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
I'm Cody Robinson.
We are implementing a universal screening process for patients.
St. Clair is preparing for a possible coronavirus outbreak.
Tennessee has confirmed its first known case of the virus.
Downtown Moorhead will host the Antiques and Arts Market this weekend.
A famous biblical scholar will speak at Moorhead State next week.
A human trafficking bill is headed to the House.
A bill focused on employment for recovering addicts is under consideration.
The House has signed off on two abortion-related bills.
In sports, Brown County's boys head to the regional tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A chance of sprinkles this evening, otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 34. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Like most hospitals across the United States, St. Clair Healthcare is preparing for the possible outbreak of the coronavirus in the region. So far, no cases of the virus have been identified in the state of Kentucky. St. Clair Chief Medical Officer Dr. Will Milan says his organization has a very stringent infection control process.
We manage hundreds of cases of influenza every year. And in the community, there are probably thousands of cases of influenza every year. So we have a very well-developed infection control plan. In addition, though, we are always sort of the first to get into a mode of pre-planning and preparation for any infectious disease surge.
Milan says coronavirus prevention is just like the flu, and hand washing is the best defense.
The University of Kentucky is working to bring 29 students studying in Italy home. UK says they have advised all students in Italy to self-isolate and monitor their health conditions for 14 days. WKYT talked with one of those students who just left Italy. Sophia Mitchell lived the dream of many college students studying fashion design until the recent outbreak of the coronavirus.
I'm very upset because I met a lot of great people here that I love, and I would love to continue hanging out with them and continue taking courses here. But for the past 2 weeks, everyone, all of my friends, since I'm doing an international, they've all returned home to their home countries. And I've currently been basically putting myself under lockdown for the last 2 weeks, trying to avoid contact with other people because I know that that's how it can be spread.
Michelle says she was scheduled to fly out of Milan this morning, headed for Amsterdam and then Scotland, where she says she will check into a medical facility to make sure she is okay before coming back to Lexington.
Tennessee has confirmed its first case of coronavirus. Health officials say the patient is an adult male living in Williamson County, which is south of Nashville, who recently traveled out of the state, but not out of the country. The patient is isolated at home, and officials are compiling a list of people who may have been in contact with him. Here's Tennessee Health Commissioner Dr. Lisa Piercy. Piercy says the threat to the general public from the virus is low. Governor Bill Lee is cautioning Tennesseans to keep the illness in perspective, noting that a vast majority of the cases are mild and manageable.
Downtown Moorhead Incorporated's Antiques and Arts Market will be held this weekend at the Moorhead Conference Center. The event will feature collectibles, artisan items, antiques, glassware, and primitives. DMI Director Tony Pence says this year will feature more than vendors.
Well, it finds anything, you know, in the lingo, everything from smalls to large. You know, you find small items that you would find in a tinker type store, up to primitive furniture that, you know, generally is fairly large in its nature. We have two licensed appraisers on site, and they'll be there. And for $5, you can have an item assessed.
The event will be held Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Admission is $3.
A world-renowned biblical scholar will be speaking at Moorhead State University next week. John Collins, professor at Yale Divinity School, will present Biblical Values, Frameworks, and Contemporary Concerns at 7 p.m. on Monday in the Carty Theater in the Adrian Dorn University Center. Dr. Scott Davison, a professor of philosophy at MSU, says the talk will be important because people often misunderstand the origin of some Christian values.
He's going to talk about which values really do
find their roots in the biblical text, and it might turn out to be a little bit different from the ones that Christians typically appeal to. So some of the hot-button issues that we're accustomed to hearing about a lot, I think he's going to argue are really not present in the biblical text. And so it should be a refreshing take on what the values of the Bible really are.
Collins' visit is sponsored by the MSU Philosophy Club and the MSU Cicero Society and funded by the Newman Foundation, Incorporated, a nonprofit organization connected with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Lexington. The event is free and open to the public.
Morehead State University Police Department and the Morehead Fire Department responded to a minor fire on the campus of MSU around 1:45 p.m. Wednesday. Students and faculty stood outside the Camden Carroll Library as police and firefighters cleared the building and extinguished a small grass fire between the buildings. Chief Jeff Anderson with the Morehead Fire Department says firefighters quickly arrived on the scene.
The Morehead Fire Department received a call from MSU saying there was smoke and ashes coming into the library. On our arrival, we found out the fire was on the outside. It was leaves that had been burning, and the smoke was coming from the leaves, so the interior was okay. There was no fire inside the library. The alarm was set off as precaution to get people out until we figured out what was going on.
The fire was quickly put out, and the building cleared in less than an hour, and activities in the facility were able to return to normal. The cause of the fire is unknown at this time.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A bipartisan bill that has been called a comprehensive approach to human trafficking prosecution and prevention has advanced to the floor of the Kentucky House. House Bill 2, primary co-sponsor and House Majority Caucus Chair Suzanne Miles of Owensboro told the House Judiciary Committee that the legislation would ramp up efforts to combat human trafficking in the Commonwealth. Besides adding specific human trafficking offenses to what qualifies as a sex crime under Kentucky law, HB 2 would increase awareness and prevention of human trafficking by requiring that the National Human Trafficking Hotline number be posted in public restrooms, airports, train stations, bus stations, and truck stops statewide. Current law only requires posting of the hotline number at Kentucky rest areas. HB 2 now returns to the full House for further consideration.
Legislation to overhaul the Kentucky Board of Education advanced out of the State Senate Education Committee today. The measure, known as Senate Bill 10, would undo a recent executive order that reorganized that board. It would also prohibit future governors from reconstituting the board through executive orders. Senate President Robert Stivers said SB 10 wasn't about politics. Another provision of SB 10 would require board appointments to reflect equal gender representation and proportionally reflect the state's political affiliation and minority racial composition. The current law prohibits a governor from considering the party affiliation of appointees. Board members would still have to be at least 30 years old, have at least an associate's degree, and lived at least 3 years in Kentucky. Also, certain ethics requirements would still have to be met to avoid any conflicts of interest. SB 10 now goes to the full Senate for its consideration.
Legislation to give Kentuckians in addiction recovery a pathway to maintain or return to employment narrowly advanced out of a Senate committee on Wednesday. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
The measure, known as Senate Bill 173, would task the Cabinet for Health and Family Services and Office of Drug Control Policy with developing educational resources for businesses who voluntarily implement employer-facilitated treatment programs for employees who fail drug screenings. Supporters of the bill say substance use disorders continue to weigh down labor force participation rates in Kentucky. SB 173 is similar to legislation that passed in Indiana 2 years ago. Rob Mattingly of the Kentucky Justice Association testified that his group was supportive of the bill's concept, but was concerned about provisions in Senate Bill 173 that released employers of certain liabilities when employing people with substance use disorders. SB 173 now goes to the full Senate for further consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
A bill that would create a framework for future funding of broadband deployment grants in the Commonwealth has advanced to the Senate. House Bill 362 primary co-sponsor Representative Philip Pratt of Georgetown said the broadband deployment program set out under the bill would allow government agencies or private entities to apply for state grants for broadband infrastructure projects in defined, unserved, and unreserved areas of the state. The Kentucky Infrastructure Authority would administer the program, which would require grant applicants to pay 50% of the project cost. HB 362 does not include an appropriation for the grant program. It would instead put a structure in place for the program to be funded in the future. HB 362 passed in the House 82-11.
A Kentucky House committee has signed off on two abortion-related bills that critics worry will be used to target providers. As WUKY's Josh James reports, members of Planned Parenthood and other groups expressed their opposition by dressing as characters from The Handmaid's Tale.
The committee sent a pair of abortion-related bills to the Kentucky House, one requiring the, quote, dignified treatment of fetal remains, and another broadening the scope of the Attorney General's power to enforce laws dealing with facilities that provide abortions. Lexington Representative Stan Lee said under current law, the Attorney General can only take such action if called upon to do so by the head of the Cabinet for Health and Family Services.
This bill would allow the Attorney General to independently take action. This is in keeping with the Attorney General's role as chief law enforcement officer.
Seated behind Lee were silent abortion rights supporters, donning the red cloaks and white bonnets seen in the TV adaptation of The Handmaid's Tale, costumes which have become a popular symbol in women's rights movements.
We were trying to communicate visually our support of our right to choose.
Adrian Adams says she doubts the message connected with lawmakers.
I feel like it was rushed. I didn't feel like people got to ask the questions that they wanted to, and the people who were opposing the bill weren't allowed to fully speak.
Governor Andy Beshear's administration recently granted approval to Planned Parenthood to offer abortion services in Louisville, taking the number of providers in the state from 1 to 2. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently approved a new heat-not-burn tobacco product called IQOS for sale in the U.S., and some Kentucky public health officials say consumers are left in the dark when it comes to knowing the side effects and long-term health risks. Elizabeth Anderson Hoagland is with the Kentucky Department of Public Health. She says the tobacco industry is focused on creating more high-tech purported alternatives to traditional cigarettes than explaining the side effects and risks.
The more products introduced in the marketplace, the more confused the public is going to be, because how do you keep straight what tobacco product is what the side effects are, what the consequences of use are?
She says low-income Kentuckians tend to disproportionately use tobacco products. According to the latest state data, 46% of low-income adults and 42% of those with less than a high school education currently smoke cigarettes.
According to a new study, Kentucky is failing to protect against accidental shootings and suicide. Here's KNN's Suzanne Duvall.
Nearly two-thirds of Kentucky adults who keep loaded guns in or around their homes are not locking them up. That's according to the Kentucky Health Issues poll by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. The study found that even 15% of Kentucky homes with children have loaded but unlocked guns. The study also found that more Kentuckians with guns at home are storing them loaded rather than keeping the guns and ammunition in separate locations. Neither the proportion of homes with unlocked loaded guns nor the percentage of such homes occupied by children has improved since 2011. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, a chance of sprinkles between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., partly cloudy, with a low around 34. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of sprinkles and flurries, cloudy and windy with a high near 37. Tomorrow night, a chance of sprinkles and flurries, cloudy, with a low around 25. And Saturday, mostly cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high near 47 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 61 degrees in Lexington, 62 degrees in Winchester, 62 degrees in Mount Sterling, 62 degrees in Ashland, 63 degrees in Grayson, 63 degrees in Inez, and 64 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
WMKY's spring fundraiser and membership drive is your chance to be a part of live and local public radio from Morehead State University. Your financial gift this spring supports our student work studies. You can make your pledge today online at wmky.org, or you can give us a call right now. We have people waiting to take your pledge. 606-783-2001 is the number to call right now. We do have a couple of thank yous to pass along. Glenn Hale went online. He's down in Alabama, used to work here, actually, and went online and made a pledge of support at WMKY.org. You can go to the Support Us tab to make your pledge online. Also, David Potter from right here in Moorhead, Kentucky. We do appreciate you taking the time to make your pledge of support. And also, Dora Amati, one of the professors here at Moorhead State University. We do appreciate the time you take to go online and make your pledge of support. We could not continue to provide the opportunity for our work studies to spend time here in a professional news environment while they're working on their degrees without your generous donations. Now, we are in the studio live right now with Cody Robinson. We're in the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Cody, I wanted to put you on the spot for a second and ask you to tell our listeners how it feels for you, why it's so important to have this opportunity to work at WMKY.
Sure, Leanne. So first thing I want to get out of the way is that working in public radio, working at a radio station, period, has always been something that I have wanted to do for years. Being able to speak to the people, to get my voice out there, to get the news, the important information out to people who need it most, that has always been something that I've wanted to do, to let my voice be heard. Working here has given me that opportunity, but it's not only given me that opportunity, it's also made me gain some very valuable skills and things that I otherwise wouldn't be able to get outside of the station. My articulation, for one, has improved significantly. Mm-hmm. The way I speak is drastically better than the way it used to be. I've always been somewhat of a decent speaker, just to brag on myself a little bit, but working here has improved that so much. My speaking skills, when talking to people, I know the right questions to ask, and when I'm talking to important figureheads and people who are important community members, when it comes to speaking with those people, I have actually gotten much better at knowing what I should say, how to say it, the questions I should and shouldn't ask, and knowing how to get the information that the people need to know. It's really just improved my communication skills, period, as far as either writing goes, speaking goes, talking. There's so many skills and important things that I have learned and picked up here, along with the connections that I've made and the important people that I've talked to that, like I said, are opportunities I wouldn't have been able to get outside of this radio station. And so I'm very thankful to have been given those opportunities and to have gained this experience and talked to the people that I have by working here. It would not have been possible without WMKY.
And it wouldn't be possible without our generous donors and the people who become members out there. Now, guys, the becoming a member, no donation is too small. We would just like to, it's really important to get your name for your household to become members, because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting looks at that when they're trying to decide exactly how much money to give us when they give us grant funding. And that grant funding goes to support our national programming like Morning Edition, All Things Considered, The World, those types of shows that we bring you that you know and you love and you want to listen to. We know that by donating locally, you are supporting our work studies, and that's how we do a lot of our local programming. We do over 2 hours of news every day. We do a lot of entertainment programming here at WMKY, and we can't do it without you. So give us a call right now, 606-783-2001, or online at wmky.org. Thank you so much for your support. It's currently 449 and I believe 64 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University. Again, my name's Leanne Akers, and I'm here with Cody Robinson and Jonathan Burton, coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, juried art market and professional appraisers, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th. The Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center, in downtown Morehead.
The first round of the 16th Regional Boys Tournament concludes tonight in Morehead. For WMKY Sports, I'm Todd Martin. Tonight's matchup begins with the undefeated Tomcats from Ashland Blazer facing off with Russell. The Red Devils lost both of their regular season matchups with Ashland, the last one just by 4 points. Tip-off in that game is set for 6:30 p.m. Round County meets East Carter in the nightcap game. The 25-7 Vikings beat the Raiders during their regular season play, 63-56. Viking head coach Sean Thacker says his team has been tweaking some things on the practice court, and he expects to see the same thing from East.
You know, we're like chemists in a lab. We're always going to be tinkering around trying to find a way to make it better. You know, you always got hoses in your boat. Just sometimes some are bigger than others. So, you know, you just got to figure out what parts to tinker with and see what you can do to make things better. And you all the time got to be a self-evaluating your team. You know, if I was the other coach, what would I be doing to me to try to get that win and prepare yourself for that?
Tip-off tonight at Morehead State University's Johnson Arena is set for 8 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team will head into the second round of the 16th Region Tournament on Friday night. The 22-10 Vikings will face Russell. The Red Devils have a 24-8 record coming into that game. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team will need to focus to take down Russell.
Thursday, we'll really get after our game plan for Russell, and then so they'll have an easy one tomorrow. Then we'll have a pretty tough one on Thursday night just to get ready for Friday.
Game time Friday is set for 8 p.m. While the season is over for the team, Morehead State women's basketball's Ariel Kirkwood already has her eyes on next season. The freshman was recently named the Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year, a first for the program at MSU. Kirkwood shares the team's sentiment that it would have been nice to get a couple more wins on the year, but she thinks the Eagles will be an intimidating force next season.
They pushed me to, you know, do the best that I can. I wanted to, you know, of course, continue the little season wins, but, you know, me and my team, we tried our hardest, but we just couldn't make it to the tournament this year. So, like you said, it's a lot of skill, talent, and, you know, players coming in. And, yeah, we're going to be scary next year.
Kirkwood also earned All-OVC second team and All-OVC newcomer honors. The Morehead State University softball team added a couple of numbers to the win column yesterday. The Eagles got two shutout victories over Ohio Chillicothe yesterday, taking the first game 14-0, then clinching the second game 13-0. Head coach Samantha Jones says she's proud of her team's performance.
My girls definitely came out and played really well. Pitching was awesome in both games, but they had a defense behind them, and obviously the bats exploded and backed them up to be able to have a little bit more of a comfort. So it was a good overall game.
Morehead State softball resumes play Wednesday when they host Dayton for a doubleheader. The Morehead State University baseball team is getting ready to begin conference play this week. The Eagles will open up play in the Ohio Valley Conference with a 3-game home series this weekend against Belmont. Head coach Mick Aoki says the OVC is going to be very competitive this year, and this is the first test against a hot Bruins team that will let the Eagles get a gauge on things to come.
Getting ready for Belmont and you know, the challenges that they present. So, you know, getting our guys getting some reps on the hitting. I think we've had some issues a little bit with some cuts and relay team defense types of things. So we've worked on that. But outside of that, just trying to get the guys a little bit better every day.
The Eagles first face Belmont Friday at 3 o'clock. The head of the Kentucky High School Athletic Association says intimidation of sports officials is reaching new levels and it's driving away referee recruits. Yesterday, lawmakers took the first step toward cracking down on unruly parents and sports fans. Association Commissioner Julian Tackett says the number of referees and umpires has been down roughly 10% over the past few years, and safety concerns are to blame.
Parents are more aggressive than they've ever been. A lot of times they are pinning cars, you know, they'll go to where the officials' car are and take trucks and other things and pin people in where they can't leave. They'll threaten them at the car, they'll chase them out of the gym. It's just, you know, everything seems like it's going on around society in general, but certainly around ball games is more of an exclamation point and a fist banging on the table.
Testifying to that rise in violent behavior was Kenny Culp, who was assaulted while officiating a basketball tournament, an attack that left him with a brain bleed, broken collarbone, and a fractured sinus cavity. House Bill 65 would make intimidation of a sports official a misdemeanor, punishable by up to a year behind bars. While the measure cleared the committee, some on the panel were worried it's too broadly written and could turn criticism of officials into a crime. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Italian soccer will resume in full this weekend in empty stadiums with the matches that were postponed last round because of the virus outbreak in Italy. The revised Serie A calendar was announced on Thursday and followed the previous day's decree from the Italian government that all sporting events in Italy must take place without spectators until April 3rd. Six matches were postponed last week, and four the previous weekend. The remainder of the Serie A calendar will likely be pushed back a week. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts Belmont this weekend, and softball will host Dayton on Wednesday, March 11th. Also on March 11th, beach volleyball welcomes North Alabama. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks plunged, erasing most of the steep gains made in the previous session as markets remained highly volatile in the face of the fast-spreading coronavirus. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 969.58 at 26,121.28. The S&P 500 was down 106.18 at 3,023.94. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 279.49 at 8,738.59. And in the rush to safety, the 10-year Treasury note fell to an all-time low below 0.9% as all 11 S&P sectors finished the day in the red. Fears about the coronavirus disrupting the global economy continue to grip Wall Street as countries around the world extended quarantines and travel restrictions. California declared a state of emergency after a coronavirus-related death and 53 confirmed cases in the state. The angst-fueled investor demand for safer assets in addition to U.S. Treasuries as gold rose nearly 1%, and the lower interest rates today, the bond market kept pressure on bank stocks, which were among your worst performers. J.P. Morgan and Bank of America and J.P. Morgan both dropped about 5%. And airline stocks also took a huge beating, leading the declines in the Dow Transports. United Airlines cratered 13.4%, while American Airlines was down 13.2%. And these moves today come amid a roller coaster week on Wall Street, which saw the 30-stock Dow swinging 1,000 points higher yesterday, and that was its second biggest point gain in a single day on Wednesday, with the greatest point gain being on Monday. And, of course, yesterday's rally came after the very strong showing by former Vice President Joe Biden during the Super Tuesday primaries, and this sparked a relief rally, especially in the healthcare sector. Investors also cheered signs of a global response to the coronavirus outbreak, including a more than $8 billion in emergency funding from Congress. In the commodities markets, oil is down 1.8% at $45.94 a barrel. In Europe, stocks were on the weak side, with the Stock 600 index in Europe down 1.4%. And in Asia, markets were actually up, with the Nikkei up 1.8% and the Shanghai Composite up 2%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 292 at 43.74, Lowe's down 575 at 107.54, Delta Airlines down 349 at 45.01, Marathon Petroleum down 472 at 41.16, and Yum Brands was down 369 to finish at 90.94. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Moorhead State Public Radio's spring fundraiser and membership drive is going on now. Credit cards are accepted and payroll deduction is available for Moorhead State University employees. Help support public radio and make your gift on our website at wmky.org or by giving us a call right now in the studio at 606- 783-2001. We've had a challenge grant from an anonymous donor on the table today, and I just wanted to let our listeners know that we have met that goal. Today, we have raised $6,000 to match that grant, and we couldn't have done